Here we go. Video Film Podcast. It's Jesse. I got Adam. We watched The Black Mass, directed by Scott Cooper from, I don't know, let's say 2016. And Tyrannosaur, directed by Paddy Considine, as he pronounces his name, I heard on the audio commentary. And that was from 2009, maybe, let's say.
2011, I think.
2011. 2011. Yes. That was from 2011. So there you go.
All right.
That's what we did. Let's start with Tyrannosaur.
All right.
So we watched the movie with the same lead actor last week, The Claim. And he comes back, and now he's angrier than ever. He plays angry very well.
Yeah.
Now he's angrier than ever. He's almost too angry, maybe, and too unsympathetic. I watched the movie a couple. I think this may be my second time watching it, but this time I was like, man, you gotta give him something. Like, he just, until the end, he's just a complete asshole. And then you're like, I don't know if he could turn around even that little bit. When Olivia Colman kind of comes into his life. Like, okay. He still seems to just be looking for things to get angry about. Obviously, yeah. Her getting beaten by her husband is something to get angry about. But he just seems to still be, I don't know. It's a tough movie. I like the movie because you don't see a lot of movies where they just have people who you don't like, most except for Olivia Colman's character. You don't really like any of these people, and they're just bad people. And then at the end, you're like, they're a little bit better. And Olivia Colman needed him, I guess, and he was there for her, but still, you don't really see, even though they show it at the end where he visits her in prison, you're like, I don't know if these people have a future together.
Why don't you tell me a bit about what the movie's about?
Oh, I could do that too. So there's a guy who's very angry. In the first scene, he murders his own dog. And he just kind of goes around picking fights with people, being angry. He finally goes into a shop. I think he's hiding in the shop of Olivia Colman, and they kind of become friends. She wants to introduce him to Jesus. He's not a big fan. He eventually finds out that her husband is this awful guy who's really violent and abusive. And she kind of moves in with him to hide from her husband, and they become friends. But he's still very angry, and he's still doing a lot of violent things and beating people up and stuff. And then at the end, you find out she murdered her husband with good cause. And then he also kills a dog. Another dog, which he remarks on in the movie. He's like, I killed two dogs now. I don't feel good about that. Or something like, I forget what it was. And then at the end of the movie, I think they both gone to prison at some point, but she's still in prison. Okay. How do you feel about the movie?
I think you left out some important parts that made the movie better. He runs into her shop to hide. He's being chased by somebody that he's gotten in a fight with. She says hello and treats him with sympathy, and then says stuff like, would you like me to pray for you? And it puts him into tears. And he comes back the next day, but they're not friends. He's a real dick to her. She says, oh, you're back. And he's like, what are you doing in this part of town? Oh, you're the rich person from the rich part of town. And what are you doing faking? Is this your way of getting into heaven? coming down here and or are you trying to get God to repair your womb so that you can have kids? And she puts her into tears. So no, I wouldn't say they become friends right away. It's a lot tougher.
True.
I don't think it's just him walking around being angry. I think the important part to his character is that he displays exactly what the abusive person tendencies, the abusive husband and the abusive boyfriend displays, where he's a dick to somebody, and then he immediately apologizes pretty shortly after he loses his temper and he does what he wants to do, put them into tears. He immediately regrets it and then apologizes. And it's that cycle, the same thing you see with Eddie Marsan, his character. He's the abusive boyfriend, and he really abuses Olivia Colman's character. And then there's scenes where he's crying in her lap, and the way I felt for her was, she's like, why am I consoling this guy? He beat me last night. And yet there he is crying, and she's going, it's okay, you're a good person, rubbing his back. And I think in her face, you're seeing her being like, what is, how fucked up is this? I'm consoling him, the guy that beat me. So I
Do you
think there's
think she
more.
believes he's a good person?
No, I don't at all. That's why the way I interpreted it, when she's rubbing his back, is in her mind, she's like, this is fucked up. Why am I doing this? He's a terrible person. And here I am being like, oh, no, it's not your fault. It's okay. I love you. You're a good guy. I forgive you. I forgive you. Wait, why am I doing this? This is fucked up. That's how I saw it.
She's afraid to leave.
And
She's afraid to be
ironically,
lonely.
she gets involved with the exact kind of piece of shit that she's trying to leave. And I think there's more irony there.
It's interesting because that's not how I saw the dynamic, but it could be true. Is that she definitely tends toward these guys who have this anger and don't treat her well, and she needs to get them into heaven, I guess, by being a figure of redemption for them, I suppose. But she does, I would argue that the main character is a much better person than Eddie Marsan's character. Like he doesn't seem to be, I don't know, I guess he's sort of abusive, but he seems to be more almost self-abusive, in that he wants to get into these fights and he wants to get sort of beaten up and he wants to sort of push everybody away,
But don't you
where
see that as him punishing himself because of his abusive personality, the way that he treated his wife?
I guess so. Do you think he treated his wife like, other than obviously being mean to her about her being fat, do you think he was abusive in other ways?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really clear that he was abusive, probably physically and emotionally, to her. And he knows that about himself, and he hates himself for it. And he loved his wife, but he treated her like a dog, as he says in one scene. He treated her like a dog. And then I think Olivia Colman says, do you wish she was back? Did you wish she was still here or something? And he goes, no, because I would still treat her like a dog. Because he knows he can't control himself because he's a piece of shit. He's not a good guy. So.
He's not good, but at least he has some self-reflection. Like Eddie Marsan's character doesn't seem to have that. That he doesn't know that he knows what he's doing is wrong, but he doesn't accept that what he's doing is wrong.
I think he does when he's crying and he's saying, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake and I love you and all that stuff. I think it's just a short period of time. And
I
then
would say
he's.
that's more manipulation.
It could
I
be.
don't, I would say that's more him not wanting her to go to the police or him not wanting her to leave because she cooks his meals or he doesn't want to be lonely or whatever. Like, that doesn't seem like genuine contrition, I guess.
Yeah, it could be either way. I don't know. He it was ne he we never found out what was going on inside his mind.
He didn't live long enough.
No. But he
And
is a
that,
real piece of shit, but I don't
yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that he is feeling sorry. Just like what's the guy's name again? I can't remember.
Yeah, we
Gerald
should.
Depardieu.
Gerard Depardieu,
What
Peter
what's
Mullen.
Peter Mullen, yeah. Peter Mullen's character, like he is a real piece of shit, but he does feel bad about it afterwards. Like, and it's usually the alcohol. It's not helpful. And I also found it kind of funny that it's like every time they're like, well, let's go get a drink. Like every turn around every corner, it's like, wait, don't you just can't you realize the alcohol's part of the cause of you losing your temper and being a dick and getting into fights and treating people like shit? Alcohol's not helping you too much here, buddy. But then every
No.
chance they get, he's like, let's go get drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. I have
That's hard.
a question. I was surprised that she went to jail for killing her husband
Right.
after he beat her and raped her and she killed him.
You'd think there'd be enough evidence that she wouldn't get jail time for that.
That's what I thought. And I was like, well, I'm maybe the UK or whatever they're calling themselves now is different. And they have a sort of if you did it, there's no, or there's less way that you can justify it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. But I thought it was weird
Peter
I
Mullen
would have.
immediately says, "You're fucked," to her. When he comes back, he's found the husband dead. He goes, "You're fucked." And I was like, "Really? Is she? Because it could can't they make a case for self-defense? Like, there's still the bruises are still all over her face."
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's messed up, and I'm sure be very easy for a doctor to tell all the signs of past and current abuse and all that. And yeah, like it was so weird, but and he also didn't like I thought he would try to help her and be like, okay, maybe I did it or whatever, right? And he's just like, no, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I thought he was gonna like take one for the team, but he was like, man, you got yourself into some trouble.
I was glad he didn't because that we just watched a movie where somebody does that. What was it? I can't remember the name of the movie. Do you know the movie I'm talking about?
I know you. Yeah, I can't remember the exact movie that it was, but I know we just watched one.
So you remember a movie, but
Well,
yeah.
Rounders, kind of.
No, not Rounders at all. It's
Lone Star, no?
Lone
Was
Star.
it Lone Star?
No, okay. Sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know which movie you're talking about, Adam. It's okay
I
to do
don't.
that.
I don't. I'm looking them up.
I know, but you went, yeah. Oh, yeah, we definitely did. No, the movie, there's an old guy who walks
Oh,
around.
Miser Quordia.
No, it's not that one either. Well, just
The
let me tell
priest?
you. I don't know why you have to
Okay,
know. You
go
always
ahead.
have to know. I
Well,
know the
you seem
movie
to
is.
be asking me, and I was
Because
trying
I
to
thought
figure
you
it
knew the
out.
movie and not you weren't just going to name every movie we've watched for the past 6 months.
I named
I didn't.
half the movies we watched for the past 2 months, but
There's
go
an
ahead.
old guy who has an apartment and he comes home and somebody's taken his apartment from him. I think he goes to jail and then he comes home and somebody's take the woman has taken over his apartment.
Oh, The Last Rites of Joe May.
There you go. See, that's the and that's exactly the way he does it. He's a prick, and then she needs help, and she's got an abusive boyfriend. And then in the very end of that movie, he says, "Okay," and he goes to that guy's place and he kills him. And I'm like, "Don't go this exact same way in this movie because it's so easy to have him redeem himself by getting killed to
Yeah.
save her. And so I was happy that Peter Mullen didn't do that in this movie.
But that was his plan, though. His plan was to go and kill the guy.
I don't know. Was it?
Yeah, maybe we don't know, but my thought was like, why would you go there when you know he's there, if not to confront him?
I think he wanted her out of his life too at that point. I'm not sure, but he only brings his car keys with him, like to fight the guy off. I mean, he's known for picking up bats and looking for weapons to go and kill other people across the street from him. So if he was going there to kill that guy, why did he just take the keys to her place? And because that's all the weapon he has the key in his hand.
Maybe he
So,
wanted it to be like he was, I guess you could interpret it different ways. Like maybe he was just going to get her stuff, but also he could say to the police, well, I went to get her stuff and then he attacked me and I had the keys because she gave them to me to get her stuff because she was afraid of this monster. And I stabbed him in the eye with his own keys.
I don't know. I didn't get the feeling that he was going there to murder the guy.
Oh, okay.
Because when he finds him murdered, he doesn't like hide the body. If his plan was to go there and murder the guy, and he finds him murdered, why is he so shocked? And he comes back and he goes, "You're fucked, lady. You are fucked. You're going to prison." Like, why wouldn't he have been like, "Oh, good, half the job is done, and now I've got to just get rid of the body. I was going to do this anyway."
I was thinking it was more because he was like, oh no, she did it herself. And now she's in trouble. I wish I was the one who was in trouble.
Then why wouldn't he have said I did it? I'm he do, I don't I was happy that he didn't sacrifice himself in the way that would have been predictable to me. I thought that was what was coming, and I'm glad he didn't do that.
I thought it was the movie constructed itself in a way that cheated him out of that chance, which was good. I agree with you. But that I thought that was part of the construction of the screenplay.
So Olivia Colman, amazing actress. And I don't want anybody to ever tell me, look at how great Conan O'Brien acted in this movie this year. When you could compare the two, compare it to Olivia Colman acting in this movie. That's acting. Conan sitting on a chair, trying so hard not to smirk and go into a bit, is not good acting. So don't tell me, whenever I ask for an example of good acting, just say Olivia Colman in this movie, because I can see the difference. It's quantifiable.
It is. And the crazy thing about this movie is I listened to maybe like 15 minutes of the director's commentary, and Patty Considine was said people didn't think that Olivia Colman could do it. They thought she wasn't capable of this role. And then he's like, well, and now she's the most famous actress ever. Maybe not ever. But that's crazy, is that people were like, I don't know, maybe you might want somebody better.
Because she was known
And
for Hot Fuzz at the time, right?
yeah, I guess. I'm not even sure she'd been in Hot Fuzz. Let me see. 2011. And she was great in Hot Fuzz. Yeah, she'd been in Hot Fuzz. But she was awesome in Hot Fuzz as the funny body co-worker. But yeah, she did not give off the, you know, and Patty Considine was of course in Hot Fuzz and must have been like, oh, she could play an abused, emotionally damaged Jesus loving woman after she gives these body comments all day in the Hot Fuzz. But he was proven right by the last 15 years of her career. And an Oscar win, and I think like three or four Oscar nominations. Just amazing, amazing body of work.
What did she win the Oscar for?
Ooh, was it The Favorite?
I don't know.
Or was it the year before?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's
I
just.
know. Have you seen The Favourite? She was great in The Favourite.
I've seen The Favorite, but I can't say
Okay.
she was great in it. Because it's such a weird movie that I can't say anybody's acting is good. It's just fucking weird.
Yes.
It's
She
too
won
weird. If you're gonna, if for me to know if something is good acting, it's got to be a real scenario. And for her, when she breaks down at the end, when Peter says, "You're fucked," and she's like, "What do you mean? What are you talking about? What did my husband say to you?" And like, it's her wrestling with the fact that she did murder him, coming to terms with that, and then like, you don't understand what he was doing to me. You don't understand why I murdered him. Like, and then she just breaks into tears. It's like, that's acting right there.
Yeah.
Because then they kept flashing back to Peter Mullen, and he's just standing there staring at her. And you can't go, well,
Yeah.
he's good. That's amazing acting from him standing there staring. I could do that. Conan
You could
almost
stare.
can't do that. He
You
almost
can't.
can't stand there and stare. He's got this
Yeah.
smirk on his face that
Yeah.
you're like, oh, he's gonna start to smirk right now. And so for anybody to say Conan is a great actor is an idiot.
I'm gonna have to watch that movie before next week because I believe everything you're saying. I just want to see it.
You'll just come back and be like, hey, he was great. And then I'll be like, why? You'll be like, because he was. And then I'll go, huh, well, here we are again.
You saved us that conversation. I have a question then related to this. When people get nominated for awards, normally the Academy Awards, they don't nominate comedic acting or action or whatever it is. They nominate people for dramatic roles. Do you think they should like nominate people for comedy? Do you think that should be a different category? Like it's incredible that Jim Carrey in the 90s was so amazing and he got nothing. And then he tried to win an Academy Award for these stupid dramas, and it was like that's not what he's good at. He had to try and do something he wasn't good at to win awards.
Yeah, there should be a different category. You can't just be best actor. And in fact, get rid of best actor because I don't even know how you decide that. So
Yeah,
if you.
I there's yeah, or it
The
could
whole
be
thing is
whatever it is.
subjective, right? I always
Yeah,
forget
for
which one's
sure.
which, but the whole thing is subjective. So, but yeah, if you're gonna have a different category, because I always hear about dramatic actors saying comedy's harder.
Yeah,
Comedy acting in
yeah,
a comedy is harder. Like dramatic is
yeah,
easier.
yeah.
So there should be a different category for best comedic deliveries, timings, all that stuff that goes into making you
Yeah.
laugh. It's there is an art form to that, but it's got to be a separate thing.
Yeah. But they've screwed it up because they nominate whoever they like best, whether the movie is a comedy or not. So if we look at this year, these are the best actor in a musical or comedy film nominees at the Golden Globes. Timothée Chalamet for Marty Supreme, George Clooney for J. Kelly, Lee Byung-hun for No Other Choice, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Jesse Plemons for Begonia, and Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon. I don't think most of those are comedies.
What was the category name?
Best actor in a comedy or musical?
Oh, in a comedy or musical. So that's a new category.
No. That's Golden Globes.
Oh.
So the Golden Globes has always had differentiations for best picture in a best picture comedy musical, best picture drama, whatever, best actor, best actress, comedy musical,
Yeah, that's a bad.
and
Yeah, I
drama.
don't like the list of people that you just said were in that
Yeah,
category.
they're just basically picking the 10 favorite ones
Yeah.
and then distributing them into two categories. So there has to be, if the Oscars does this,
How are you
there
going to
has to
call
be some.
one battle after another a comedy
I know it's
or a
insane.
musical? It's not a musical. I can eliminate that, but is it a
Yes.
comedy? No.
No, not at all. It was funny, like all of Like all the Paul Thomas Anderson movies have comedy in them, but they're not comedies. This is not, I wouldn't say,
What's
like,
I'm gonna
you
guess
want to
blue.
watch, go
Go
ahead.
ahead. Go ahead.
I wouldn't say, do you want to watch Step Brothers or One Battle After Another? Like,
Right.
that's not a choice.
And Blue Moon, I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna guess it's not a comedy. Maybe it's a
As far as
musical.
I know, I don't, nobody sings in it. It's about a guy who was a lyricist, but apparently the whole thing just takes place in a bar, and Ethan Hawke talks to a woman or talks to multiple people in a bar. Like, I haven't heard it described as necessarily more comedic than dramatic, certainly.
Yeah, and why even have those two together? A comedy and musical. Why is that a category?
Couldn't tell you.
That's dumb. That is dumb. Golden
Yeah.
Globes are dumb.
Yeah, they're I know what they're trying to do, which is award more people for different things, but at the same time, why not just have 10 people in the best performance category or whatever it is, best actor category.
Yeah, I agree with you. Dumb.
Which is something I think maybe they could do at the Oscars and just expand the category a little bit more or something. I don't know.
I don't think you can do that because you can't the best performance. They're not going to take Jim Carrey into account. They're just not going to take it seriously. So,
Maybe, yeah.
but I do think you can scientifically say that made me laugh more. That one guy in that one movie made me laugh more. I admire his performance in that. Like his timing was perfect.
Yeah.
His facial expressions were perfect. So, yeah, I don't know why they don't. Didn't they just add best stunts in a movie this year?
I know they added best casting, not best cast, but best casting. I believe you're right. I believe they did add stunts last year or something like that recently, or maybe it's next year.
Which is so stupid because they've had 100 years of amazing stunts in movies when there was no other option. If you wanted to have an amazing action scene, you had to get somebody to risk their life. And now, finally, when they're like, we don't have to do anything risky anymore, it can all be done inside of a computer. There's no more risk necessary for humans. Let's add a category of best stuntman in a movie. It's dumb. They
It
did a
is.
100 years too late.
It is, and there's like people who have made their names known through stunts. There's people who have been like actual famous stunt people and had movies made about them. They were so good.
Yeah. It's all about
And
just taking themselves too seriously at these Oscar events. Just like, oh, this is when we get together and we act really pretentious.
yeah.
And we love ourselves. And we, fuck you.
Anytime you wear a tuxedo to an event, you're taking yourself too seriously. Like, it's too serious. I think you gotta start with the dress and go from there. Like, if people were wearing just normal suits and ties, maybe you'd have a little more fun. You'd be a little less pretentious.
I guess that's why they're like, but well, no, we're gonna stay with the pretentious. We're gonna be the Oscars. We're gonna be the pretentious awards. There's other awards out there. You get MTV awards and stuff like that for all your silly bullshit. But when we're at the Oscars, we're gonna have dignity.
It's
So,
true. Give Adam
okay.
Sandler MTV awards. Never give him an Oscar, no matter how good he is. Which is sad because Punch Drunk Love, he should have won an Oscar for.
Well, he could have, but I don't
But
know.
he didn't. And
Okay.
what was that other movie? People keep talking about it all the time.
The
The one.
Jewels of the Nye. I don't know what it's called.
No, the one
Uncut
where we.
Gems.
Uncut Gems, yeah. People are still talking about how great he is in that.
Yep. He was, and you haven't seen it.
Still no.
Still a big no.
I'm gonna watch if I had legs, I'd kick you though. Did you watch Dead of Winter?
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
It was enjoyable, sure.
Okay.
But more importantly than it whether it was enjoyable or not was whether you've finally done it right with your recommendation.
Okay.
You did. You win, Jesse. You did a good job.
Oh,
You
thank
just
you.
said watch this movie. And then I said, what's it about? And you were like, it's a woman who wants to go fishing. And that was perfect. That's all you needed to tell me.
Thank you.
You didn't need to say, and then this happens. And then at the end of the movie, everybody dies. You didn't need to do it like that because I would have been like, well, now I don't want to watch the movie. So you did it right. You just
And
said,
that's actually what happened.
well, you couldn't resist. But
You've already seen it. Now I can say it.
well, let's just pretend that Pat hasn't seen it.
Let's pretend Pat would ever see it.
Yeah. I know. Well, you did. He had my vote up until just then.
And then
You ruined it.
I
But
ruined it.
you did well before when I just said, what's it about? You didn't go further and say, and then once she gets on the ice, then there's this guy, and then this happens, and then this happens. You gave me enough because all I wanted to know was whether I've seen it before. And I definitely hadn't seen it. I definitely had not seen this. I don't know why the title made me really think that I'd seen it, but it had not.
There's a lot of movies that sound like that.
So, anywho, let's move on to the other movie we watched, Black Mass. And
Black
I
Mass.
had not seen Black Mass as far as I know either,
Okay.
which surprised me because I'm like, if you last week I was positive that this was the one with a whole bunch of car bombs. And so when you said Black Mass,
Oh.
I'm like, oh, the movie where there's just car bombs like every 5 minutes, there's another car bomb. And there was not one car bomb. So I was completely
Oh.
wrong. And then I watched the whole thing and I'm like, I don't think I've seen this before, which is surprising because it's my kind of movie.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is a crime lord and big cast. You can't deny that.
Amazing, amazing cast.
Yeah, huge.
Amazing cast. What did you think of it on your first viewing?
It wasn't as enjoyable as I was hoping it would be once I got into it. I was like, all right, I haven't seen this before. Let's hope for great things. But I will tell you, there was a one review headline that I saw that kind of summed it up, and I was like, she nailed it. Let me see if I have it here. Yes, this was by Angie Han of the Slash Film Variety. So she said, I think Scott Cooper thought that half his work was done the moment he jotted the words Boston set crime drama on a notepad. And I was like, yeah, that is exactly how I felt like after watching the movie. Like, basically, they didn't care about character development. They didn't really give you too much more than just it's a Boston set crime drama. You're supposed to just go, okay, we already know everything about all these characters and we know. But I really didn't. As I was watching, I'm like, is Whitey Bulger a piece of shit? Is he a bad guy? Is there anything redeeming about him? And they didn't really bother to tell me that. That's how
Yeah,
I felt.
they tried to humanize him with his mother and his son and stuff like that. So I had a much different reaction watching it this time. I think just for the second time, maybe, in that I feel like I watched it the first time with Johnny Depp as the lead character, Whitey Bulger. And I watched it and I was disappointed because he doesn't really have a lot of character development, like you were saying. And you can't, I don't know, there's just some kind of remove, which is probably what Johnny Depp wanted and the filmmakers wanted, is that you really can't get to know him. There's really something cold and sort of dark about him.
Okay.
But then this time I watched it, and I watched it as Joel Edgerton was the main character.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot better. Because I saw everybody else. I saw all the supporting characters, Rory Cochrane, W. Earl Brown, all those guys, and I saw them kind of on the same level as Johnny Depp's character. Instead of Johnny Depp was supposed to be the main character, and Joel Edgerton was the guy sort of pursuing him, which he wasn't really. He was just making excuses for him, and all these other guys. But when I watched it with Joel Edgerton as the main character, I liked it a lot better. I don't love it. I don't think it's as good as The Departed, which also was a kind of an account of Whitey Bulger.
Oh, yeah.
They based the they just kind of based Jack Nicholson's character off of it. I don't think they based any of the story elements off of it, but Jack Nicholson apparently was supposed to be playing Whitey Bulger in
Okay.
that movie. But I liked it a lot better because there was a lot more, I guess, conflict when you look at Joel Edgerton being the guy who's supposed to be a police officer or an FBI agent, but he's also basically one of the gang.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make excuses to everybody of why he can't catch him and why they shouldn't catch him. And he's also trying until the one scene kind of later in the movie, he's trying not to be part of their gang. He thinks he's doing the right thing for a while. And then at a certain point, he just absolutely does the wrong thing. I think when he gives up one of the informants or something like that, you realize that he's really crossed over to the wrong side.
Yeah.
He's
Yeah,
not just a guy.
it would have been a better movie if they had made it with that intent to show you his descent into the crime ring. But because they had the leading man, Johnny Depp, you kind of lose it. You kind of lose that point of view because you're like, I don't know. I guess I don't think they gave any of the characters enough depth.
Well, I found it easier this time, I think, because now Johnny Depp is not as big of a star, and Joel Edgerton is on the rise. He should have been nominated for an Oscar, even though he wasn't. So now I look at it as, okay, this is if you made it today, you probably would have made it a lot more like I tried to watch it this time. So I don't know, I liked it a lot better. It's still not great. It's still not a classic crime movie. I just don't think Scott Cooper is that great of a director. I was watching another one of his movies by accident last night, actually, called Antlers. And I didn't even know it was by him, but it has Jesse Plemons and Rory Cochrane in it also. And it's fucking terrible.
Is it?
And I was like, man, he made this after he made Hostiles and Black Mass and some of his other better movies. And I've heard the Springsteen movie sucks, and he made that one this year. So I don't know. Maybe just, I think you're right. I think he just didn't do enough work on this movie. The
Yeah.
Slashfilm quote may be right.
What's Antlers about?
It's just a standard shitty fucking horror movie.
Okay.
Like, okay, I mean, I could tell you because you're never going to watch it. I don't recommend it. So there's a kid who's kind of weird, and something has happened to his father and his brother. But they don't, they really, anyway, they really fucked that part up. Something's happened to his father and brother. They've kind of disappeared, and his teacher notices that he's a little weird. They do the classic thing of he draws pictures with like monsters and stuff.
With antlers? When do we get to the antlers?
Okay, so anyway, he's drawing pictures of monsters and people and whatever, scary pictures. And you realize that his teacher wants to find out what's going on. She follows him home. You realize he's hiding something in his house. He's hiding monsters in his house.
Oh.
And then soon you realize that those monsters are his father and his brother, and he's basically all alone. And his father and brother are slowly turning into Wendigo, which have antlers.
Ah, okay. All
Yes.
right.
And the movie's basically about Jesse Plemons as the local sheriff and the brother of the teacher, I think played by Kerry Russell. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They're trying to help the kid. And it just kind of ends up in a horror movie with a Wendigo attacking people.
All right. Yeah, okay.
And Rory Cochrane is in, I would say he has 20 minutes of screen time, maybe 30 minutes of screen time. And I don't know if he says more than one line.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a second. Like, is that Rory Cochrane? And like, he's in like five scenes in the background. And you're like, I'm like looking like, that's fucking weird. Why would they get a guy who looks like Rory Cochrane? And then like 15 minutes later, he says his first line. And I'm like, why'd you fucking hire him?
Okay, why who's Roy Cochran and why do I care?
He's the guy who was in Black Mass. He plays the guy who fucks his stepdaughter. He's also Dazed and Confused. He's the stoner guy. He's the guy in what's that movie we just watched? Scanner Darkly. He's the guy with the bugs crawling on him.
Okay.
He's in a lot of Linklater movies. But in the past 10 years, he was in Hostiles too. In the past 10 years, he takes on all these roles where he almost never says anything. Like Black Mass, he said way more than he said in like five movies combined. Like Hostiles, I don't even know if he has a line in it. And he's in the whole movie.
Okay.
He plays the guy with the big beard.
I won't see it. I don't care about
You have seen
Hostiles.
it. I think we've done it on this podcast.
The one where they're trapped in a room or something and they gotta solve jigsaw puzzles or some shit.
No, isn't it? No, it's the one. I'm pretty sure we've seen it on this podcast. It's with Christian Bale. And he's
Western.
like, it's a Western. Yeah.
I see. What is Hostiles?
I don't know. But we did do Hostiles on the podcast.
What am I thinking of? The one that's a Saw
Bug?
ripoff.
Oh, Hostel.
Hostel?
Is that
That not the same word?
No. Hostel is like a hotel with an S.
Okay.
It's like a European backpacking type hotel.
Hostile versus hostile? What is the difference in the word?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know how to
Hostel
spell.
is Hostel.
Oh yeah,
It's
okay.
like a place where you get a bed.
And hostile has an I in it.
Yes, and hostile means to be
Oh, okay.
not welcoming of people.
Okay.
So we got that now.
Yeah, those are opposite words.
They're not even opposite. They're just two completely different words with completely different. One is a noun. The other is a verb. And no.
You're really gonna make me look dumb until you started to try to tell me
An adjective?
grammatically.
Okay. I know hostel's a noun.
Okay. All right.
Anything else to say about this movie?
Black Mass. So, yeah, it could be interesting if they just did a better job of making this movie. I don't know
Yeah.
exactly where they fell short, but like I said, that woman that made the review summed it up for me. They just didn't bother to take you into the, I think maybe they just cast too many people in it, too many famous people. They had all these competing well-known actors for roles that I just didn't give a shit about at the end of the movie. I'm like, I didn't care about Benedict Cumberbatch's character.
Yeah.
I didn't know what his problem was. And yet you should, because he's the brother of a crime lord, and yet he's supposed to be, what is his title? Is head of a state, some sort of.
He's the head of the state senate.
You should care. You should care about his character and what his character is going through. You should care about the FBI's character and what he's going through. But then they throw in another FBI character by the guy from Stranger Things.
David Harbour.
David Harbour's in there, and you're like, there's the one cliche scene where the bad guy says, "What the fuck did you do that for?" And David Harbour goes, "What do you mean? You just joking?" He's like, "What am I, a clown? Am I here for your amusement?" And you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" They just do the
It's
ex
a Goodfellas ripoff,
well, every at the every movie has that scene on it where, and then at the end of it, they go, he goes, "Ah, oh, I was look at his face." You know how many times they've said that in a crime movie where you're taking the bad guy seriously, and then he goes, "Look at your face, I got you." And then you know he's gonna stab him a few minutes later. You know it's gonna come. Like, there's a lot of this stuff that
And
I just
when he
didn't
goes
care about.
upstairs with his wife, and he's like, "Oh, you're very sick. I should choke you a little bit to make sure you're okay." And it's like, I've seen that a million times.
There's a lot of that stuff that should have had more of an impact to me as a viewer, and I just didn't really care about it. And who
I
else
just
was
don't think
there?
Johnny Depp was good.
You don't think he was good?
I thought he was bad in it.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to, like, if I'm watching it and then I decide to watch it as a different lead character, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign that I'm picking my own lead character. That you're not doing a good enough job as the head of the mafia or the Boston crime family. One of the FBI's most wanted people who was on the run, and people tried to catch him. You're not doing a good job if I'm drifting from that.
I agree. And then they throw in Jesse Plemons in there, and you think it's going to revolve around him at the beginning because he's the first guy they show. He gets into a confrontation at the beginning, and then they're kind of done with him. Like the next scene, Johnny Depp says to him something like, "I like you got some moxie, kid." And he's like, "I'm going to bring you under my wing." And then he's done. Like you don't see Jesse Plemons again. Like you don't care about
Barely.
anything that happens to his character. I think it just boils down to too many characters and not making you care about any of them. So,
I think Scott Cooper is better at casting than he is at anything else. Because remember we watched Hostiles, which you obviously don't,
no, I don't.
but there's like the one scene where it's all like the new troops and it's like the biggest stars in Hollywood. It's like Timothy Chalamet, Jesse Plemons, somebody else, and they were all just like unknown or little known actors at the time. And he seems to be able to really cast well, but then he just doesn't have them do anything great. He doesn't advance them really. Joel Edgerton was fine. I thought Joel Edgerton was good, but other than that, like nobody really lived up to their potential or were directed to their potential, which is sad because this should have been a great movie.
We'll go back to Tyrannosaur for a second and talk about the first time Eddie Marsan's character comes in. And she's asleep on the couch, and he says, like, "Hey, wake up, honey, wake up." And then you know what happens next. It's the most traumatic event I've ever seen. Can't believe you look like you've forgotten. You don't know what he does to her.
It was an accident, clearly.
Okay.
No,
Pisses on her,
he pisses
Jesse,
on her. Yes.
when she's lying on the couch. That made me snap to attention. Be like, what is this movie I'm watching? What the fuck is going on? Because at first I thought she liked it. Because she's pretending to be asleep. And then after he leaves, she opens her eyes and I'm like, what's going on? She does not like it, Jesse. She did not. Because then in the next scene, she's cleaning up and I'm like, oh, this is like part of their sick fucking married life. And I don't want to know about your married life, Jesse. if that's why this didn't have an impact on you. But I was like,
The only difference between what would have happened in the scenario with me would be I would have to clean the couch,
that's the
which
only
makes it,
difference.
it defeats the whole purpose. If you're the one who has to clean the couch, it's no fun to piss on someone.
Oh,
You gotta be like, you gotta piss, you gotta walk away, and that's it. You can't come back and you're scrubbing the couch. It's like, fuck, what a waste.
It's fucked up because she's like scrubbing the couch in the next scene. And then he comes over, he's like, "Hey, baby, like, what are you doing?"
It's like,
And
what's
she's like,
going
and she
on?
kind of giggles, and she's like, "Look, I gotta get this cleaned up. I gotta get this cleaned up." And you're like, "What is going on with this?" Well, that's fucked up. That's I mean, I was traumatized.
It's traumatizing because, well, obviously it's traumatizing because he urinates on her and she's pretending to be asleep because she's so afraid of him. But what's more traumatizing to me, like you said, is that she's cleaning the couch and she's trying to not be angry about it. She's trying to pretend like it was nothing. That was more traumatizing to me, is that she couldn't be angry. She couldn't be like, "What are you doing fucking pissing on me?" That's the most degrading thing ever. She had to be like, just, cleaning up a little mess here. Nobody's fault, no harm, no foul.
know. Fucked
Like,
up,
that was
man.
the worst part of it. And I'm glad you called attention to it, because I'd forgotten to bring it up. But yeah, I think that was one of the most traumatic things in the movie.
What else did you forget to bring up?
Oh, probably a lot. Oh, there's another thing I was going to mention. So there's a short film, which is almost exactly the same as the first 15 minutes of this film. Almost shot for shot. There's a couple differences, but the big difference is that the main character, after he almost kills his dog is still alive, but he's dying. And he mixes up some painkillers or something in his food to kind of ease him off into death in a, I guess, a more humane way. But Paddy Considine took that out of the movie because he thought it humanized the character too much, too early in the movie. I think it was a mistake. After seeing both, I thought, he's awful. He kicks a dog. He kills his dog, but at least he has the awareness to at least try to not make up for it, but try to ease the dog into death, which I don't think would have made him feel better, but it would have been better for the dog. And I thought that they should have left that in.
Better for the dog? Is
Well,
that what you said?
the dog just died in pain in the movie. And at least in the short film, he gives the dog a humane transition into death.
So your problem with it isn't about the character development, it's about the dog's pain.
No, it is about the character development, in that I thought that they should have humanized him a little bit more with that in the movie. If
Weird.
you haven't seen it, you don't know that it's not there. But now that I've seen it, I thought, oh, you should have left it in the movie. And he consciously took it out.
Did that upset you, that whole scene with the killing the dog? Did that really bother you?
Yes.
People, I know it affects people. They get really upset. And I remember as a kid, I did not like movies where the dog died. Like every time they did a Benji movie or a Homeward Bound or a Turner and Hooch, every movie where there was a dog in it, you're like, there's a good chance this dog's gonna die, and I'm gonna cry as a little kid. There's a solid chance. And I didn't like that in movies when I was a kid, but I'm an adult now and I have no emotions at all. So when I see a dog get killed, I'm like, okay, it got killed. It's a movie. There's no part of me anymore that goes, I didn't like that scene, because I'm like, it's all fake.
Yeah, and I think it's that you see a pure innocent, like a child or a dog, or somebody who isn't aware of why they're being hurt. That's what gets me, is that they're not even conscious of why they're being hurt.
Well, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you that
Thank
you
you.
still have some kind of connection to humanity.
It's
Because
slight, but it's there. It's
I know that
tenuous.
there's people that will not watch a movie that a dog gets killed in. They're like, if they hear that,
Yeah.
they're just like, nope, I refuse. I'm not gonna watch it.
Yeah,
Or
there's
like
people who won't watch a movie if a child gets killed.
as Christopher Molisanti, when he killed the dog, that he like there's that scene where he's all fucked up on heroin and he sits down on the dog, and then his girlfriend gets all upset and he's like, oh, it must have crawled under there for warmth. And she's like, you killed my dog. Anyways, that's a funny scene to me, because of how much of a piece of shit he is. And but I didn't, but he's like, I'm still getting death threats about that scene like 10 years later. I made that up. He didn't, nobody's threatening his life, but people did
I
not
hope
like
not.
that. They really, you listen to the Sopranos podcast, don't you
Yeah, it
remember?
was great.
Didn't you don't
Yeah, I
remember
don't
that
remember
scene?
that specifically,
Yeah,
but
I remember him talking about that, saying like there's still people that are bothered by that. They're like, how could you dare kill? He's like, I killed 50 people in the show. Oh yeah, well, they weren't bothered by that. They didn't like him when he killed the dog.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's the innocence. The killing of innocence is tough to watch, but like you, I'm mostly dead inside. Maybe not quite as dead inside, but yes, they still bother me. Like when he kicked the dog, at first I was shocked and appalled.
I saw it coming. He does not look like he was in a happy place when he came out of that bar. And then they show the dog whining, and you're like, oh, he's definitely gonna kill that dog.
Yeah, usually I didn't see it coming.
Okay. But yeah, I don't like when I watch movies from the 70s and they're showing animals. Because I'm like, they probably killed those animals. They probably really killed them for the scene. That's what I don't like it. But this is a 15-year-old movie. I'm like, they didn't kill the dog. They don't even show. I
Oh,
mean,
they don't even show it.
he yanks it with the chain a bit harsh. And I'm like, well, that was real. He really did yank that dog's neck, and I don't like that. But then they cut it. They edited enough where they don't show him actually kicking a live dog for the
No.
scene. But I just watched a movie called Badlands last night. You probably have seen it.
That's with Sissy Spacek.
Yep. And there's enough scenes in that where they're like doing stuff to cows, and I'm like, yeah, this is all reality. They're actually doing this stuff in reality today, and I don't like it because they're doing it just for their silly little movie. And but I gotta reconcile that this is what happens at slaughterhouses. And all I can do is my part. My part is to not eat meat. That's all I can do. You don't like killing animals, but then you go out and eat a big dog burger, right? Like you have no problem with that part.
I don't eat like any kind of dog burger, only humanely slaughtered
Yeah, organic.
dogs.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna go like
Free
German
range.
Shepherds, no,
Okay.
but like Dalmatians, yes.
Yeah. Good for you.
I mean, I'm not a monster.
You aren't a monster.
No, but there are places where they eat lots of things that we don't eat, and that's always weird to me, is that there's places where they eat horses and dogs and cats or whatever it is, but we go like, whoa, that's too much.
I
But
know.
then we're eating chickens and cows and things, right? That's
Yeah.
the thing that's weird to me, is that we have such a problem with other people eating things, but we eat other things.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem that I had about 20 years ago. Even more than 20 years ago at this point. And I was like, yeah, I can't reconcile this in my brain that I'm okay with eating that cow, but I'm not okay with eating that dog. I can't do it. I was like, just because the cow didn't run up to me and, like, you know, jump on me and become my friend, I'm okay with fucking killing it. I don't know. I have a real issue with that. But most of the world doesn't. They don't have any problem with that.
No, not really.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
Yeah. It's the world we live in. Like I've always said, if there was a petition that said let's ban meat, I would sign it. If they said you can't eat meat anymore, I would be fine with it. But until then, probably not going to stop eating meat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the weird part to me.
Yeah. That is weird. But that's the complexity of human beings. We're a mass of contradictions.
Yeah.
And we put up all these psychological barriers and we justify things in our minds that are crazy. But hey.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yep. Okay. Anything else to say about anything?
I think we're good.
All right.
Thank you. Some good insights this week. All right. So next week we're going to start our world famous Star Wars movie. I don't know what you call it.
Just what are we doing here? Just say the movie.
We're gonna watch all 11 Star Wars movies, and then you know what? Maybe we'll watch the new Star Wars movie at the end.
Maybe.
The Mandalorian and the Grogu. And there you go. So we're going to do it chronologically. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, Han Solo movie, Rogue movie, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
But what are we watching next week?
1 and 2. Star Wars episode 1 and 2.
The Phantom Menace and...
What's
the second one?
The Trading War...
The Clone Wars. Okay, I'm up for that. That'll be fun.
That's going to take us another...
We might end it after next week because you're going to come in with all this cliche stuff and I'm going to sit there and be like, all right.
I love the Clone Wars because there's so much talk and nothing else. That's what you're
going
to say.
You're going to go in with an agenda. Yes, you're going to have your agenda.
You give me too much credit.
Well, you've already got your agenda, and it's
my agenda
just...
of watching 11 straight movies.
We might not make it past.
Yeah, we could take a break.